All right. Well, I'm going to jump into a text this morning as we begin this new year together. And what is so interesting was before y'all left to go on your retreat, I had picked the passage that I wanted to share. And when I found out that y'all, what your theme was, whisper, I said, oh, they must have probably already talked about this at Breakthrough. And I talked to Jacob just this morning about it and was telling him, and I said, tell me y'all talked about this passage. He said, well, actually, we never did. but when you think about the word whisper, there's a story, as Jacob mentioned, that really comes to our minds that we think of, right? It's Elijah on Mount Horeb, exactly what Jacob was talking about, where he's gone there seeking God. And he expected to hear God's voice in all these big, loud, and catastrophic things, but rather God's voice was heard in the small, quiet whisper. And I thought, well, surely that was what y'all talked about this week. But y'all kind of went in a little bit different direction, although that was the foundation for it. So what I'm going to do this morning is talk about what comes immediately after that, that episode with Elijah, and talk about transitions. Because that's really where we are at the beginning of a new year, is in a transition time. And so let's look at the call of Elisha, who was the successor to the prophet Elijah. So I'm going to be reading 1 Kings 19, beginning with verse 19. You can find the words up there. So he, Elijah, departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen in front of him, and he was with the 12th. Elijah passed by him and cast his cloak upon him, and he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow you. And he said to them, go back again, for what have I done to you? And he returned after following him, and he took the yoke of oxen, he sacrificed them, and boiled their flesh with the yolks of the oxen, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and went after Elijah and served him, or assisted him. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So, as I mentioned, this story picks up as Elijah is leaving Mount Horeb. So, the backstory is this, real quickly. So Elijah is this major prophet figure. And what a prophet does in the Old Testament is they are God's messenger. They bring his message to his people. And when the people get off track in their relationship with God, the prophet is there to kind of guide them back into covenant faithfulness. And so Elijah's been doing this. He's been challenging people in political positions, and it's not gone well for him. King Ahab, who was this evil king, and he had this evil queen wife, her name was Jezebel. Anybody ever heard of a woman named Jezebel? Y'all have heard of somebody named Jezebel? Oh, okay, yeah, but you've never actually met somebody named Jezebel, right? I hope not. I mean, that name is like X'd. It is cursed because this woman was a bad woman. And she has it out for Elijah because he's really been confronting her and Ahab because of their idolatry. They've been leading the people into false worship or worship of false gods. And so Elijah is on the run for his life. And so he runs to the wilderness and he gets to this place called Mount Horeb. We believe that this is the same mountain area where Moses received the Ten Commandments. So it's a very holy, sacred place. And Elijah winds up there, and he's wanting to hear from God. He's exhausted. He's burnt out. He's afraid for his life. He's at a low point. He's in a crisis. And that's when God shows up, and he gives clarity to Elijah. He brings clarity to his life and his ministry. And that's where the whisper comes in, is God is revealed, his voice is heard in the whisper to Elijah. And what God speaks to him is the future that Elijah needs to move into. And it's a future of transition. So there's a lot of things that are going to be changing. For one thing, God sends Elijah to go anoint two new kings. And that's what prophets did. They would anoint kings. And so he's sent to anoint a new king of Israel and a new king of Aram. Aram was Israel's neighbor. And a lot of times they had each other's back. But Aram couldn't be counted on. They were all over the board. Israel couldn't really rely on them. The alliance was breaking down, and some of this idolatry, you know, was happening with them as well. And so God says, I'm going to set up new kings. New king in Israel, new kings in Aram. And Elijah is going to be sent to anoint them. The second thing God does is tells Elijah that he has chosen his successor. Who's going to be the prophet following him? It'll be Elisha. And so that brings us to this point. So Elijah has left Mount Horeb, and he is going to fulfill what God has shared with him. Now, I thought this whole story would be really fitting for a new year, as we're in a time of transition from an old year into a new year. Because just the other day, I had someone come up to me, and they said to me, Jimmy, I'm ready to turn the page on 2025. You know, it hasn't been a great year, and I really hope that 26 is better, so I'm ready to move on into this new year. And I get it. I understand that. There are some years that are better than others. And for some of you, 26 has been tough. It's been a tough year. There are experiences that we've had that we just want to put in the rearview mirror of life. You know, maybe there's mistakes that we've made. Maybe there's just some things that have been going on in our life that we need to go in a different direction. And now, with the turning of a calendar year, it's a great time to do that. You know, one of the things that I've been thinking about is, you know, I need to give up some stuff. And one is some of the food I've been eating. Y'all, I know, are in that same boat probably. Did you have a good Christmas? A lot of good food? Yeah, it sticks to you, doesn't it? Christmas food sticks. Christmas food hits different. Okay, some of y'all get that reference, but I have a story about that, but I'll leave that. I'm going to put that over there. I'm not going to tell that story. But anyway, we need to move on. We need to give up some things, let go of some stuff, move forward. And New Year's a good time to do that. So what about you? You ready for a fresh start? You ready for something new and different? Y'all fresh back from breakthrough? You want, hey, when we go back to school on Tuesday, we want things to be a little different this year and the second half of the school year. And, you know, I get that. You know, it's time to move forward. Well, the good news is Scripture kind of teaches us that God does some of His best work in the transitions of life. And, you know, we might think of those as turning points. Turning points. Well, this scene in 1 Kings, as I mentioned, tells us about these two people. Elijah, the old prophet, you know, the one who's had this tremendous ministry, who's exhausted. He's tried to be faithful to God in the midst of challenges when everybody else wasn't on board. You know, a lot of peer pressure. He's having to resist in trying to deliver the message that he feels God has brought him. He's in this hard season, y'all. And it's there where God meets him, restores him, renews him, and sends him right back. And as I mentioned, to anoint these kings and stuff and his successor. So Elijah goes, he leaves. He doesn't go to a palace. He doesn't go to a monastery or seminary to find his successor. He goes to a field. He shows up in this field, and God encounters through Elijah. He is encountering Elisha, who's just doing what he did in an ordinary day. God shows up with a call through Elijah. Now, we don't know much about Elisha. His background is kind of vague to us, but we are told one thing about him. and I just read it. What's he doing in the field? He's plowing, right? Imagine a plow, you know, a wooden plow, possibly with these two big handles. This thing's hooked to a pair of oxen. Y'all ever seen oxen? I mean, these are huge creatures. I mean, they're like the size of a buffalo. Y'all ever seen buffalo? Probably seen those things. Two of those things are pulling this plow, you know, this metal plow, as it's carving through the field. And Elisha's out there, you know, doing his thing. If he had iPhones and earbuds and all that, he's probably in the zone. He's listening. He's zoned in. He's plowing. And then Elijah just shows up out of nowhere. And, you know, what we're left to kind of assume about Elisha is if, you know, we're told that there are also 11 other pair of oxen out there. So there's 24 large animals plowing in this field. How big do you think that field is? Pretty massive, isn't it? The impression we get that is that Elisha is a part of a very wealthy family. I mean, one ox by itself was very, very valuable. To have 24 of those things, imagine a field full of big, massive John Deere tractors. That's what we've got here. And so that signals to us that Elisha has a pretty good life. It's secure, there's wealth, there's a future that's planned out for him. There is a whole lot of things working for him. His future looks good. And then Elisha comes on the scene. He doesn't give him a speech. He doesn't try to offer a job description of what a prophet does and say, hey, you want to be a part of this? He doesn't give him like his benefits package and how much he's going to get in prophet retirement so that, you know, try to convince him. All he does is he walks up to him and puts his cloak over him. Now, I want to invite you to another visual for a second. Y'all know in the other service, Jacob and I, we wear robes, right? Now, I wear something additional to the robe. Do y'all know what that is, the thingy? A stole, right? The stole, it is a symbol. It is symbolizing that the thing that I'm doing when I'm wearing the robe as a pastor is it's a call that I have received from God. It's like a yoke. You know, it's shaped like a yoke. You imagine an animal when they're plowing, they have this big yoke that's hooked to like these reins and things that helps them to pull. That symbolizes the yoke. And that as an ordained pastor in the Methodist tradition, I have answered the call. I have received the yoke of ministry. It's a symbol. And so this mantle, this cloak, this thing that Elisha receives is very similar to that. It symbolizes a call from God. It signals, hey, you've been chosen for this very sacred role. And that's all that Elijah does initially, is this cloak lands on Elisha's shoulders and he knows that his life is going to be much different now. The cloak says God is calling you to something new, Elisha. And in one sentence, the scripture tells us what Elisha does. It says he immediately goes and follows Elijah. He immediately goes. And when he goes, he then tells Elijah, hey, let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And Elijah says, sure, go. Go do that. You know, that's a human thing to do, right? I mean, if you're going to walk away from everything, at least you can do is tell your family what you're going to do, try to get their blessing, and then move forward with that. But the scripture is clear. Elisha is all in. He's committed to this call. And so the story reminds us of something that we don't always like to admit. and that's this. God often calls us forward by asking us to let go of something. Now, Elisha does something else. Rather than just telling his parents goodbye, he does something else. It's pretty radical. What did he do? He killed the oxen, right? He sacrificed them. It was an offering he was making to God. He sacrificed these animals. He takes the plow, breaks it all up, builds a fire, and cooks this meat on it. You know, so when Elisha is ready to step into this thing that God's calling him to, you know, he doesn't put the oxen on Facebook Marketplace and say, I'll just get a little money for it and, you know, we'll move forward with that. Give me a little security. No. He doesn't put it on Facebook Marketplace. He has a barbecue. That's what he does. And so he's letting go in order to move forward. He's letting go of the past in order to move forward. And so Elisha, what he's really letting go of when you think about it, he's letting go of his future that he had all planned out. He's letting go of security, playing it safe. He's letting go of fear. He's letting go of predictability. Because who knows where this journey is going to take him. But he chooses to let go of those things. And he does it because God is doing something new. And it includes his story. So some of you are standing in Elisha's field right now. Figuratively. Okay? You may be at a place in your life where you're standing where Elisha was. Your life is working out. Things are familiar to you. It all makes sense on paper. You've got your future. You've got it all lined out. It's all right there in front of you. But yet, somewhere deep inside of here, you know, I love the fact that Sage said a lot of times God speaks through our inner dialogue. I like that. Because that's where that conversation a lot of times happens. And in that dialogue that goes on when you're quiet, when you're sitting and praying or still before God, or even maybe when you're not, it just kind of this thought keeps coming at you. Maybe it's God. And maybe you sense that God is gently placing a cloak on your shoulders. Now, it may not be in this big, you know, response to giving up your life and going into ministry, all your future plans in that way. It could be. It happened to me. Sometimes God does dramatically interrupt your futures. And you need to test that. But maybe God has been nudging you in some way. For some of you, it may mean that you need to release some things. There's some stuff you've been holding on to. Bitterness, resentment. Some stuff that you need to leave in 2025. It's time to move forward. For some of you, maybe there's some habits. Some pounds, maybe. Some other things, some bad things. Maybe you need a change. Maybe now's the time to step into that. Forgiveness, trusting God with your future, with what comes next. You know, some of you guys are planning, like, where are you going to go to school next year? What comes after school when you graduate? Are you having a conversation with God about that? How do we move forward into a new year, a new you? You got to let go. You got to turn the page. You got to sacrifice something. A lot of times there's something we need to sacrifice. So in order to follow God into the new, you got to loosen your grip on the old. Now, when we turn this calendar year over from December 31, January 1, New Year, you know, that doesn't magically change things, does it? It doesn't mean that it automatically renews us. That's what Jesus does. That's what Christ does. And he still whispers to us like he did his disciples. What did Jesus whisper to his disciples? Follow me. And that brings me to the table that we're going to end our service with. Communion is a great turning point in history. You know, everything turns on the sacrifice of Jesus. In God's willingness to come, descend, to get close to us, to show us what God is really like, to give his life on the cross. When we put our faith in that, when we believe in Christ, it's a turning point. I understand some of you students rang a bell this week. I think it's about three of you guys. Every year, you know, there are these commitments that are made. The ringing the bell is a symbol, it's a sign that something new is happening. It symbolizes there's been another child of God born, a new birth. And that's all because of Jesus and what he's done. So communion, when we take this sacrament, it's not about making New Year's promises to God. But communion is about receiving God's promise to us of what God wants to do. So as you come to the table this morning, my hope is that you would come as Elisha did. In order for him to follow God, he had to come with open hands. He had to let go of some things physically, like the plow, that whole future. But he also, as he goes with those open hands, I envision him receiving from God too, his Spirit, that will empower him to do what he's been called to do. Elisha received grace. We receive grace when we come to this table. The Lord offers it to us. So we must leave some things behind to receive the grace for what lies ahead. And so as we do that this morning, I want to invite you to pray with me. Would you bow as we pray this prayer of openness as we approach the table? And maybe your simple prayer today goes like this. Lord, give me Elisha's courage. Give me courage like him. Not just to hear your call, but to follow when you speak. Lord, help us to do that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, y'all, I want to send you out with some good news. Y'all want some good news? All right. Well, we took up an offering at Christmas Eve for our bed ministry. We got $3,000 in that offering. Isn't that awesome? Amen. That's an amazing offering. And because of that, we'll be able to give about 20 to 25 beds to kids that don't have a bed in the coming months. And speaking of that, tomorrow we actually have a family that, is it two beds, Lauren? Two beds. Tomorrow we're delivering two beds to kids, foster kids. And if you would like to go and help us place those beds tomorrow afternoon, just let me know or let Miss Lauren know. She's back there in the booth, but she'll be roaming around here in a little bit. If you want to go with us, come. And next week we're going to talk more about that ministry. Lauren's going to come talk to you more about it and how to get involved with it. So Thank you for your very generous offering. Every dollar of that is going directly to provide these beds, and we're excited about that. All right, well, let me send you forth with this benediction. You have been fed at Christ's table, forgiven by His grace, and called by His voice. So go now as His people into a new year, free from the weight of the past and open to the future that God is creating. And may the God who calls you be the God who keeps you. And may the peace of Christ guard your minds and your hearts. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. God bless you.